Devil's Democracy by Niels Krause-Kehr and read by Leighton Pugh for Saga Egmont. Chapter 1. No one who knew Otto Brattenbier would have considered him to be the sentimental type, nor did he have any illusions about himself. Sentimentality was a weakness, a luxury one could only afford oneself in the most private moments, and even then one shouldn't play around with such folly. He was heavy with grief when his golden retriever, Schmidt, named after the 1970s German Chancellor Helmut Schmidt, had to be put down, long overdue. To his great annoyance, he was caught with watery eyes by the press photographers when he had to resign from his position as Minister of Justice many years ago. That was all. Otto Brattenbier had lived a binary life in rationality. Power was there to be used, and if he didn't use it, others would. Despite all this, he lay in his bed this Sunday afternoon, with a view of the flat screen on the wall, knowing that his little sentimental spot would soon be growing. Not much, not out of control, but just enough so that it would tickle just a little in his stomach. It always happened when there was an international football match at Parken, and 40,000 souls ungracefully united the force of their throats with the national anthem. Lisa was on a long weekend in Jutland with her women's network group. This year's theme was sustainability, and it probably made a lot of sense. Otto had assured her that despite a little fever and a sore throat, he could easily be alone in the Hellerup villa until Monday morning. The minor stroke of the winter was several months back, and he just needed lots of rest, and for goodness sake, he wasn't even 80 yet. A private care service would come by this weekend with food, clean the house, and make sure he got the proper dosage from his arsenal of pills. Off you go. He had actually been looking forward to being alone for a while. The players came on the pitch. Otto turned up the sound, which was already at a high volume. He wanted to capture the full atmosphere. In the kitchen at the other end of the villa, the woman from the care service was bustling about. Actually, it should be a social services task, he had argued to himself. But the welfare state he had fought for and with, as a politician most of his long life, was getting rather constipated. There were too many old people, too many expectations, and not least, too many wealthy people, including himself, who weren't going to be satisfied with a middle-of-the-road service. Hence the private service company. The food was excellent, the cleaning top-notch, and the smiles broad. Today it was a youngish, dark-haired woman he hadn't met before, indeterminate Eastern European like most of the others, and just as sincerely service-minded as the woman who usually came. What had happened to the Danes? The national anthem began. Otto turned it up a notch more. There is a lovely country, covered with broad beaches. The camera glided past the Danish national team players, who, with varying degrees of enthusiasm and ability, either pretended to sing along or actually did. Far from all of them were born in Denmark, as he knew from the recent debate. You could also guess which ones when you ran your eyes over the team. UEFA, the Union of European Football Associations, was considering introducing new rules for how many non-national-born players there may be in a national team. Otto thought it was a stupid idea. The crucial factors should be their citizenship and their ability to play football. All 11 were red and white, no matter how brown they might also be. Our old Denmark shall survive, as long as the crown of the beach is reflected in the waves so blue, in the waves so blue. Finally. He once again confused the two buttons on the elevation bed. Red was down, green was up. Now he was sitting right. The service woman came in with the evening's tray. Beautifully prepared open sandwiches, a jug of cold water, a thermos of coffee, and the box of pills. "Oh, football!" she exclaimed, placing the tray on the trolley next to the mobile bed.